welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you, much to our detriment in 2020.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, there are no aficionados in 2020. It's only the diehards in 2020.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the truth. But yes, we are here for you, Crystal and Jonathan here, and we have a lot to discuss with you this week. We're talking about masks. Please don't run away.
Yeah.
Please don't run away now.
We know it's another COVID episode. Sorry, but that's
kind of the nature of the beast.
It is.
I mean, what do you want out of us? So please, if you don't want any COVID episodes, take a moment and listen to us at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever the finer podcasts are sold. There's 240-ish back episodes there. You can listen to any of them if this one's not to your taste. But we're talking about masks. Deal with it. That's basically my message for this.
Yes.
So, yes. Real fast with this week, if you have not done so, please take a moment and check out hauntweekly.com/COVID-19. No caps, no spaces, nothing. COVID-19, the numerals there. We have a whole page of references and resources for the COVID-19 pandemic here for you. They range for everything from virtual tours of cool locations like the Muter Museum.
Right.
If you haven't taken a tour of the Muter Museum, why the fuck haven't you? It's now free and virtual. I mean, seriously. We also have a lot of great resources like the Barbicide reference from Japes episode.
Right.
And a bunch of information that might help your haunt open come 2020. So, once again, hauntweekly.com/COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this week's episode is all about masks. Crystal, you care to expound?
Sure. Basically, one of the bartenders that we know wears a face shield, and so that got me interested in, well, is that something that we could use as haunters?
Yes.
So then I did a lot of research into benefits, so that's what we're going to do here.
Yeah, basically, but we had a realization that this year's season, almost no matter where you are, but with some exceptions, is going to be really weird.
Yeah. Weird's probably good.
Weird is going to be the best word, the kindest word I can use.
Yeah.
So basically, it's going to be a weird year.
Yeah, and lots of people aren't going to be able to open, and rightfully so. It is public safety that a lot of people will not be able to.
Yeah, so long story short, we know a lot of people will not be able to open. Those of you who can, we'll be forced to open with social distancing, time ticketing, and also masks.
Yes.
And honestly, when we looked at the restrictions, we were sitting there talking about this the other day.
Right.
Of the restrictions, masks seem like the most vexing.
Yeah, because there's a lot of information out there that's contradictory, and there are, you know, there's just a lot of options. And actually, not a lot at all.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about putting masks on actors, on people that are going to be front of house and in the crowd.
And that's what we're doing. And your security and your staff and everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody's going to have to.
We want to talk about the type of masks that work, how to make it work with your haunt. That's what this episode's about. We understand you're probably going to have masks. So here's how to do masks during COVID and with a haunted house.
Yeah.
Now, that said, we have to go back to the question of the week.
Yes. We are doing, the question for this week is, what haunt is on your bucket list and why?
Yes.
And the why is important.
The why is very important, this one. Yeah. So, what haunt is on your bucket list and why? Now, before we answer, we had to talk about the winner of last week.
Yes, we had...
We had co-winners.
We had co-winners last week.
We couldn't decide.
And, yeah. Well, and the week before, Daphne Austin Lewis actually had the best comment that week and made us both laugh. She's the reason that this is how we decided to to do the buttons.
Fair enough.
So, we'll be contacting her.
The other winners.
Yes, and the other...
We got three winners, basically.
The other winners are Chris Gay and Greg Reinhardt for last week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll be contacting both of you two about where to mail your buttons to, and the winner before that
is Daphne Austin Lewis.
Daphne Austin Lewis. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yep.
Daphne Austin Lewis. So we got three winners from last week that suggested great simple scares that work every time.
Yes.
And so thank you very much for that. By the way, there were a lot of answers to this question that were not to Haunt Weekly on Facebook or Haunt Weekly on Twitter. They were not at us, and we didn't see them until we made the arrangement. So please, 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 if you want to compete for this week's question of the week, send it to us, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Please let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can't we can't acknowledge and we can't credit what we don't know.
Right.
So this week's question of the audience is a very simple one. What haunt is on your bucket list and why? And you're right, the why is very, very important.
Yeah, because that's basically going to determine the winner.
Yeah, it is. So, okay, for me.
Yes.
I've been thinking about this one since you proposed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Erebus near Detroit is one of my bucket list haunts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either this or Haunted Overload. I've been torn between the two.
Right.
Those are two good ones to be torn between, by the way.
It is.
But I'm going with Erebus because Erebus openly advertises that it is the biggest haunt in the country, is the baddest haunt, and they have such a reputation.
Yeah.
I want to see all of the things that Haunted Overload does. They have an awesome hayride setup, it seems. But basically, I've heard more about Erebus personally, so that's why I'm picking Erebus.
Okay. Well, that's perfectly fine. For me, it's going to be Terror Behind the Walls at Eastern State Penn. We went there on a trip. We mentioned this last week, and we got to see it without the haunt, and then we found out there's a haunt in October.
Well, we knew there was a haunt, but we were not there in October.
Yes. And so we... So that's why I want to go, because I know how great the atmosphere is just on a normal day.
Yeah, just a Tuesday or whatever the fuck we were there today.
Exactly. So I'd like to go and see it whenever it's all
haunted. Yeah, we were there
up
for the historical tour, and it was amazing and creepy, and the vibes were very, very good. I can only imagine what they do during haunt season.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's a good one. Okay. Yeah, you know what? And one of the weird things is, like, we did an episode about haunts on our bucket list previously, and we ticked off several of those since then.
We did.
We ticked off Netherworld, which was one of the big ones. And Netherworld was amazing. I'm sorry Netherworld's disqualified from our perspective, from the two of us perspective.
Right.
If you want to submit Netherworld and give us a good reason, you're in contention, but...
Well, actually, Japes just submitted Netherworld.
Oh, well, there you go.
As a must-see.
So, you see, Japes is playing the game correctly. Like, we went to Netherworld, so the two of us can't say it's on the bucket list. We kicked it off the bucket list.
No.
And Netherworld was amazing. We went there the last year before they moved.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck me, it was amazing, right?
Right. Yeah, it was really good.
It was, you know what? I got several times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't through the complex, like, projections and all that stuff. It was through good old-fashioned strategy and tactics and haunting.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell this is a haunt that has iterated and learned from its previous year's experience. So,
right.
Netherworld would definitely be on the bucket list if it were not a haunt we already visited.
Right.
So, yes, we're talking about masks this week.
Yes.
So, look, I'm going to be straight with you guys. Haunt season 2020 is looking to be a mess.
It is.
the biggest of mess. Messes? Mess? Mess?
It's going to be messy.
It's going to be messy. Look, locally, like a few days ago, our governor came on the radio and all the other communication channels and rolled out new restrictions for us. There are as a mask restriction for the entire state.
Yeah.
And they've shuttered all bars outside of curbside pickup for food.
Right.
So if you want to drink at a bar, tough shit, can't do it in Louisiana.
Yep, exactly.
And other states near us are seeing major spikes, including Texas, Florida, Arizona. Yeah, so there's definitely a rise in COVID around us.
Right.
So it's very likely that if haunts are able to open, they will open with some kind of mask requirement. Mm-hmm. This got us thinking, because you were working on Hedgerow. We'll talk about how you got to this point in a minute.
Okay. But we'll go back over it.
We'll go back over it. But long story short, you were working on Hedgerow stuff and realized that haunts are going to be working on a mask requirement, and therefore, we need to be thinking about this and how to make it work, the functional side of it.
Right.
So this is especially true for indoor slash haunt actors. Anyone that's going to be inside the physical roofed haunt with air conditioning and stuff needs to be thinking about this.
Right. And even on trail haunts, if you're going to have your actors get within 6 feet of people, keep that 6 foot different distance, obviously. But they're going to need masks, too.
Yes, they are.
And your customers are going to have to be masked, and we'll get to that later.
Yes, they are.
So.
So what the question we were asking is, so what should haunt owners and haunt people know about masking themselves before opening? And the questions were, what masks work?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make the mask look good?
Right.
That's a big one. And what themes can you build on?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, because Crystal was working on this for her headdress business,
yeah,
we decided to just talk about her knowledge and everything she gained in this past week or so.
Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the spot, but you've been the one really okay. researching this. And yeah. you've been really working on it because you have the headdress business.
Right.
NolaHeadDress.com. Right. Check it out. It's awesome. We don't usually pimp stuff on
no,
the show.
No, I don't.
But it's a good headdress site. The problem is that business has been dead.
Yeah.
Because no one's buying headdresses. Well, so you were thinking of ways to expound.
And there's also, you know, no craft shows going on.
Yeah, it's true too.
That's most of my sales.
Yes.
But that's not this show. This show is about masks for haunters.
Indeed.
So, quick note, we are not epidemiologists.
Nope.
We cannot give medical advice.
Yeah, so.
Please don't think yeah. that we are.
Nope, please don't.
Everything we say comes from studies at CDC, WHO, and I also read several articles in scientific journals and, you know, big clinics like Johns Hopkins and Mayo Clinics and what they're doing and what they recommend. So all of that's been pulled together for this.
Yeah, basically we've been, both of us have been reading from, like, core sites that are studying the COVID-19 pandemic.
Right.
And trying to understand how this virus works and how we can prevent it, reduce it, and stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But we are trusting the experts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, basically, we are trusting the experts. Please remember that we are watching an epidemic in real time.
Mm-hmm.
We do not necessarily know exactly what is right. All we have is the research in front of us as of today, which, by the way, is July 12th, 2020. So if anything becomes more up-to-date after, please follow that more up-to-date information.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, basically be prepared for information to change and it be no one's fault.
Yep. Okay.
And also, just remember, guys, this is a pandemic.
Right.
Not a game show.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, if we're wrong, that's not an excuse to, like, blame us and slam us and hate us. We're going on the basis of the information we have in front of us.
Right. What's available right now.
So, information is going to change. This is a pandemic, not a game show. There's not necessarily a right or wrong right now. We have the information today. It may change tomorrow. please seek out the most latest information.
Yes.
Don't necessarily trust that the price is right. Knows the price of a bag of, you know, rice right now. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Okay. So, how masks work. Let's talk about this first. And yeah. I know that a lot of people
Seem confused on this.
Well, seem confused, but there's also been a lot of information already out there. So, the COVID-19 virus and similar viruses travel on water droplets.
Yes.
That you spit out as you talk. I'm putting, can't see them, but I'm putting water droplets out here.
And I am too, as I talk, especially since we're both talking louder than we normally would, because we're trying to reach the microphone here, and the microphone here, and the camera there. We're trying to be heard.
Right. Exactly. So if you've seen the pictures recently of cold days and just breathing, all of that, you know, smoke that comes out of your mouth, it's not smoke, but it's vapor.
Yeah.
Is because of water droplets that you're just putting out there into the air as you breathe.
Yeah. Anyone who has ever been in a cold place and breathed out and seen their breath, that vapor you see is the water droplets, what you're trying to get at.
Yes.
And those water droplets are the problem. Because if you are asymptomatic, or if you are someone that is pre-symptomatic with COVID-19, those water droplets carry the virus. So you might not know you're sick, you might not know you're sick yet, but they have the virus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you've seen, like she said, if you've seen the images of people, like two people breathing, and the air is filled with the cloudy smoke of their breath, that's the problem.
Yeah. And those water droplets get much worse if you're screaming or singing or yelling.
Yeah. Like we're doing pretty bad right now. Luckily, we've been quarantined together.
Yes.
But if we were among not us, our screaming, our shouting, our trying to articulate would be sending those droplets further and harder and more profusely.
Yes, and if we were around people we weren't quarantining with, we would have masks on.
Yes, we would.
So, it's made much worse in indoor spaces, especially with central AC.
Yeah.
Because the airflow is directional.
Yeah, there's a bit of controversy here because some AC technicians we know
right.
believe that AC is not the problem itself.
Yeah.
But the main problem is that AC creates a directional airflow.
Right. But this morning you had read an article that says that it stays 16 hours in the air.
And it can recirculate with the AC.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. So the thing about the mask is that it catches those droplets of water.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're talking, you're screaming, all of that stuff that you do inside of a haunt, it'll catch that.
And it protects other
people from you. It does not protect you from them.
Like a good example of this is if you have a mask on, try to spit.
Yeah.
Go and see how far it goes. It doesn't go very far.
Yeah.
Because the water droplets in the water was captured by the mask.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Basically, the mask captures the water droplets you're spitting out just organically through talking and singing and screaming and whatever you're doing.
Right.
And long story short, that makes it easier to trap the virus and keep it contained to you. It keeps those little droplets, all that little molecules, contained to you.
Right.
And that's what you want. Because like she said, it doesn't necessarily protect you from the droplets of others. Like if someone without a mask comes and starts spewing droplets in your face, it will not necessarily protect you.
Yeah.
But from your droplets going out, it will.
Yeah, no kidding. And it does have to be worn at all times when in contact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Above the nose and the mouth and under the chin. That's how they work. So, what kind of mask work? The question we're getting into now. Cloth mask. And they've recommended that it be cotton. Cotton masks are the best.
Okay. I did not know that. That's good.
Yeah. Because they have a tighter weave. And you want multiple layers of cotton sewn together. And it doesn't have to be a lot. 2 to 3 works fine. It's very comfortable. If you've seen my recent profile pic, I have a mask that I made. It has 2 layers of cotton, and it just goes on real easy. It's very comfortable to wear.
Yeah.
So that's that.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
But realistically, I mean, when you're trying to stop water droplets, it could be almost any cloth mask. It could be surgical masks.
Yeah.
Or halters. We do sawing.
Yeah.
I know that when we started all this, we had 8,000 dust masks in here.
Yeah.
And so that's what we started with.
Yeah, the dust masks are more controversial, though.
But basically, any kind of cloth or woven mask in front of your face will help.
Yeah, it'll help catch those water droplets that you don't want to
spread
to other people.
And it does not have to be very thick. And contrary to what Etsy says, it does not have to have a filter.
No.
It just has to be multiple layers of blank.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like, I've been buying masks on Etsy because it's the only place I can find masks I like.
Yeah.
But they all come with these charcoal filters and bullshittery, and it's like, I don't need that. I just need the cloth part.
Yeah, because the filters are in question whether or not they do anything to protect. It's supposed to provide some protection to the wearer.
No.
But there's no proof of that.
Well, the problem with providing protection to the wearer is when you exhale through the mask.
Right.
When you inhale, the air comes in from the outside of the mask, usually.
Yeah. Well, even if it comes through the mask, it's coming through the mask. So it's bringing it back to you.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, but basically a lot of the air when you inhale comes in from the outsides of the mask, and that air is not filtered in any way. So if you have a filter here in front of your face, and don't know why I'm doing the pantomime.
Right.
But if you have a filter in front of your face, a lot of the air is coming in around it and avoiding it.
Yeah.
So it might do some good, but not significant good.
Right. And for your actors, you want to make sure they're disposable or washable.
Yeah.
And that's important.
The long story short is you want to make sure that these are masks that can catch water, the water vapor that comes out of their mouth.
Right.
And that they're disposable and wash or washable. Because you want to make sure you can clean those masks when they're done using it for a night.
Right. And like I said earlier, it needs to go from the bridge of your nose to underneath your chin.
Yeah, if you're doing a cloth mask, yes. And then we get into the controversy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we were getting into the controversy. I wrote this part, and I did not mean to step in it, but apparently I did.
Yeah. Face shields. So, those are little plastic shields that go in front of your face. They're made out of... they're very comfortable to wear. They have, you know, either a plastic reusable headband or an elastic band at the back.
Yeah, you own several now.
I have a couple, yes. The thing about face shields is that it must extend below your chin and go back to the back of your face to have any kind of effect.
Yeah, there seemed to be a bit of controversy there because some of the guides we read said it had to go behind your ears, but some said it had to go to your ears.
Yes, and on the CDC it said to your ears.
So to your
ears. So cover your face.
Now cover your face and go to, like, the hole in your ears, basically.
Right. And some of the advantages of that is that it does protect the wearer so that people's droplets can't, you know, come in. The CDC does recommend, before we get too far into this, though, the CDC does recommend still wearing a mouth covering, one of those, as if you're going to use a face shield.
Yes.
Because they don't know, there haven't been enough studies yet about the effectiveness of face shields by themselves.
And this is part of, we're watching science happen in real time, guys.
Exactly.
Let's be honest here. Like, the people doing the research on COVID have not necessarily been bothered enough to research face shields. And not necessarily been bothered enough to research Halloween masks.
Right.
The things we're talking about here.
Right.
So we're kind of flying off the cuff of our pants here.
Right.
But, yeah.
But it is a barrier. It's a physical barrier that's between you and the person that you're interacting with. And so it may be extra protection.
Yes.
They can, one of the advantages is since it's plastic, it's easy to clean.
You take just a little bleach or Windex or whatever and spray it and wipe it down.
Yeah, or run it underneath soapy water, run it through
whatever
soapy water.
Whatever works for you. Yeah.
Yep. Just do that. It may be great in
the very, very rare cases, super rare cases, yeah, that someone actually has a real issue with cloth masks. Like, look, yeah, most people that say, I can't breathe in a cloth mask, they're lying.
Right.
And they're lying, they're misstating, they're exaggerating, whatever. Mm-hmm. Nearly everyone who says they can't breathe in a cloth mask is misrepresenting their actual condition.
Right.
And if you seriously can't, that tiny, minuscule bit of reduction in your breathing ability happens to impact you with cloth masks, you do not need COVID. You need to stay your ass inside.
That's true.
And get everything in delivery and whatever.
Yes. Now, I do find that getting a mask that fits your face,
yes,
because there are different size faces, is important.
Yes, I agree with
and,
that.
And I have had one that was too small, and it did feel like it was restrictive, but that's because the mask was too small, not because I couldn't breathe through it still.
Yeah, I bought a bunch, when this whole thing started, I bought a bunch of masks off Etsy, and not off Etsy, off a printing site, because I designed them myself.
Yeah, we're getting
and
there.
Even though I listened to the guidelines and thought I had done it right,
mm-hmm,
it came back a little bit small.
Yeah.
And they're not, like, super constricting. I can't, like, not
right
wear them.
Right.
But I understand, okay, this mask is definitely, like, stupid snug on my face.
Yeah.
And it kind of hurts after about 20 minutes or so.
Right. And that's one of the things that, while doing this research, was interesting, is that it does not have to be tightly fitted.
No, not super tight, at least.
No. So,
we're not trying to form a vacuum seal around your face.
Yeah. No. That would be bad.
That'd probably suffocate you, and you'd probably die. And that'd be worse than
the
alternative, right?
Right.
So, yeah, basically, like, make sure to fit the mask to your size face.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a bunch of more masks on Etsy since then.
Right.
And they've been working better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because they are thicker. So, theoretically, they are harder to breathe through.
Right.
But because they fit better, I find them much easier to breathe through.
Exactly.
Because they're not trying to pull my ears to my fucking nose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or
I'm a very simple
down
man with simple pleasures here.
Yeah.
I don't want my ears on my nose.
Yeah, exactly. So.
If you're doing the face shields, they may fit certain characters better.
Right.
So you have to think about the characters in your haunt and also the actors in your haunt.
Yeah.
And they may be better served with this.
Right. And it's also, you know, one of the advantages of the face shield is that you don't touch your face.
Yeah. You can't
You have to take an extra step to go underneath the face shield, and then, you know, that extra step might actually help you not touch your face.
It reminds me a bit of the Simpsons episode where Homer was showing Mr. Burns about the sneeze guard at the buffet.
Yeah.
And he said, you have to stick your head underneath it to sneeze on the salad. It's kind of that thing. Like, if you're going to do the wrong thing, the inappropriate thing, you have to take the extra moment to think about it and do it.
Right. So, our next one, and this has already been mentioned in the comments by Nate. What about Halloween masks?
Yes, indeed. I'm excited about this.
So,
I did the research.
Yeah. Right now, no actual studies on effectiveness.
None, zero. We actually, I checked multiple sources, CDC, WHO, all the places you recommended. I couldn't find a single study looking at the effectiveness of latex masks.
Right.
And one of the reasons is because every latex mask is different, kind of by nature.
Yeah. Latex and silicone mask.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you can do tests with it, but even though you can't see water droplets, they usually have holes so that you can talk out of and that the mouth moves.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, then you're still letting your air escape. You're letting those droplets get out.
Yeah, I've seen latex masks and silicone masks that have a wide gap around the mouth. Like,
yeah.
They're trying, like, you're supposed to make up the mouth and do that separately.
Right.
But those obviously don't do anything.
Yeah.
And then you have masks like mine, the DOA mask, which has the tiny little slit. Obviously, these are different situations here.
Right.
So one of the things that I realized after looking at the research was consider doing a cold breath test.
Mm-hmm.
Get to somewhere like a walk-in freezer or a walk-in refrigerator and try to breathe in your mask and see how much of your vapor you can see.
Right, and if you're in a cold climate, obviously it's going to be easier for you.
In New Orleans, where the heat index is 115, I'm sorry, no, wait, I misspoke, 117, you might need to think a little harder about where you're going to do this test.
Yeah.
But if you're in a place where you can just do it like now, it might be a good idea because you could see just how much vapor that mask lets through versus without the mask.
Right.
I would do it once without the mask, once with the mask to see the difference.
Yeah. I agree. So, basically, we don't know yet.
We don't know. And most Halloween masks, latex, silicone, both custom and manufactured, whatever, have holes that are intentional to let you breathe and or talk through them.
Right.
And those holes are the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's also no studies about if air gets in there from, like, the ear holes or whatever because it's an enclosed mask. If it's a full head enclosed mask.
Like the DOA that I use.
Exactly. If that's going to make you, you know, less safe even.
And
because
look,
it's going to be trapped in there with you.
Look, as someone who's used the DOA mask now for 7-8 years, something like that, I know for a fact, every time I take that mask off at the end of the night, I go and I peel it off and whatever, I am, like, literally drenched in my own spit.
Yeah.
And Crystal has observed this practice.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's disgusting as fuck is what it is. And I know it traps a lot of my spittle, but does it trap enough to prevent COVID? That's a separate question.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is that whenever I'm in that mask, I'm screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, so someone's asking about blackout masks, and the problem with those is that they usually have a mesh face front.
Yeah.
So that the actor can see easily. So even with that, you're still going to need, you know, a PPE mask.
Once again, with the blackout masks, those things, I've used those before, too.
Right.
At Chamber of Horrors, I was using those in the closet room. I would do, at the very least, I would do the cold room test to see how much of that vapor is coming through.
Yeah.
Because I know I did not feel my breathing was impeded in that mask.
Mm-hmm.
I feel my breathing is very impeded in the DOA mask, the latex mask.
Yeah.
But maybe not impeded enough.
Yeah.
But the mesh mask, and this is something that's coming up in a lot of places, a lot of stores and so forth, is mesh masks don't necessarily block the water droplets. They block the light. They block the. They give you a shadow, but they don't necessarily block the water droplets. We're all about blocking those water droplets right now.
Right, exactly. So what can you do if you have a favorite mask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can wear a PPE mask with it. You can put that. You can even take Velcro and cut out cotton cloth and put it over the hole so that you're trapping that water.
Yeah, one thing I've been seeing images of, I mean, basically, we're agreeing that latex masks alone are not enough, right?
Yeah.
So they have to be paired with something. One of the things we've been seeing is people taking, like, a tiny strip, even, of some kind of cloth and just gluing it or gaffy taping it or something inside the mask around the mouth hole.
Yeah.
And the nose hole.
I actually do not recommend gluing it directly
I would not either.
Because you can't wash it.
No.
Because you have to remember that this has to be washable and reusable.
Yep.
So that's why I'm thinking along the lines more of, you know, using small pieces of Velcro to Velcro it in place. It might make the
even
mask,
like, tacky or something.
Yeah.
Something that's temporary could work.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, and this doesn't have to be big if you're going to do it inside the mask. It can be very small. It just has to be something that goes between the nose holes and the mouth hole. So that's, 5 inches down?
You know
what I mean? It's not much.
Right.
And it would not restrict breathing much as long as you use a fairly light fabric, like a surgical mask or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Because remember, the goal is to catch water droplets.
Yep. Exactly. And you also need to make sure that, you know, and we'll get into the cleaning of masks a little bit later, but remember that any mask that you use, it's either disposable or washable.
Yes.
Because if you can't clean it,
you gotta be able to throw it out.
You gotta throw it out. And there are, you know, ways to clean masks that are fast, so that if you need to do it multiple times a night,
mm-hmm.
you can do that.
Yep.
But like I said, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. But the long story short is we're seeing people that are putting things inside the mask or right on the outside of it
mm-hmm.
to catch those droplets, because this is a war against water droplets.
Yeah.
I know we keep emphasizing that, but it's because it's worth emphasizing.
Yeah.
This is a war against water droplets, even small ones. And by the way, by small ones, we mean basically 2 micrometers.
Yeah.
That's what the CDC last said is the smallest water droplet that can carry COVID.
Yeah.
Like, if I spit on you, obviously that's... I'm not spitting on you. I'm
sorry. Yeah, I know.
I looked at her like, are you going to spit on me? No, I'm not spitting on you. If I spit on you, obviously that's like multiple millimeter... like water droplet, right?
Yeah.
But me just talking to you, I'm still projecting those molecules, and they might range in size from like 10 micrometers to 2 micrometers. 2 micrometers is still easily caught by a cloth mask.
Yeah. Exactly. So, how do you incorporate PPE mask into the haunt? We've been talking a little bit about this already.
Yes. So we've been thinking about with our haunt, and also been talking with other haunters that are thinking about the same thing.
Yeah. So.
Basically, the first suggestion we have is to create characters and create scenes where the PPE makes sense. I don't think medical characters are necessarily wise, and I include mental health workers for that.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't think hospital scenes may be, they may be a little too much this year.
Right.
Remember, haunts are escapism, guys. We're trying to do escapism, right?
Yeah.
So maybe don't do a medical scene this year. But mechanics and morticians both use face shields.
Yeah, and so do butchers.
Yes. Anyone that might have fluid squirt in their fucking eye holes have face shields.
Dentists,
yeah. A lot of doctors might. Basically, if you work in a profession where you might have fluid squirt in your face, you probably have a face shield.
Yeah, and I realize that dentists are... in the medical profession,
but they're
not
also
the ones...
not COVID related, so
exactly.
You might be able to get away with a dentist,
exactly.
Where you couldn't get away with, say, an emergency room worker, or you couldn't get away with a mental health worker. You might be able to get away with a dentist.
Well, and
poor dentist, by the way, I feel bad for throwing the dentist under the bus today. Now, but here we are.
Yeah, but okay. So if you had a cowboy scene, cowboys have bandanas.
Yes. And they always cover their face before they rob the train, go pew pew, I came out blasting, or whatever.
Yeah.
Victorian characters always have scars.
Right.
I mean, you see the Sherlock Holmes images, for example.
Right.
He always has the suit, the vest, and a scarf around him. The scarf goes above his nose. There you go.
Exactly.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Hazmat suits are always interesting and useful.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of contaminants that you might, like, you could be in a nuclear reactor.
Exactly. You could do glowing green walls and have people in a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
And hazmat suits are...
And have a fake Geiger counter going around with it, whatever, you know?
Exactly.
You can do that easy.
Scientists, as long as they don't look like doctors.
Yep.
Because you got to be careful with that one.
Yeah.
But there are other characters that are more complicated.
Yeah, like anyone that has an oral fixation. Like zombies, everyone's worried about the bite.
Yeah.
Vampires, obviously everyone's worried about the bite.
Mm-hmm.
And also characters that are very much talking characters, that creates a problem because that's all about the mouth. And you can't just cover up the mouth. You can do a face shield.
Yeah.
Your face shield might still work, but only if it works with a character.
Right, and especially if that character is outside.
Yes.
That's probably one of the places that I would feel comfortable recommending a face shield.
Yeah.
Is an outdoor setting.
Yeah.
But still 6 feet away from everyone.
Yeah, still keep it distance, but obviously you have the face shield so they're protected and they are protecting others at the same time.
Right.
It's like I said, I wish the science on face shields was a little more settled.
Yeah.
Because
hopefully in the next few months they will be.
You and I both searched this.
Yeah.
And we came up with radically different answers on face shields.
Yeah.
I came
up with opposing viewpoints in my search.
Yeah.
And six different things.
And that's not my fault. That's not her fault. That's the nature of science. Science isn't settled on face shields. Science is much more settled on cloth masks.
Yes.
We understand that much better.
Yeah.
Because many more people have cloth masks and that face shield. So obviously they're putting the money and the time into that research.
Right.
With the face shields, that shit's still unsettled. Maybe we'll come back in a month or two.
Right. And also there are the little cloth shields with the plastic to be able to see the mouth move. Those are unsettling by themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they are. I know that they help people with hearing impairment.
Yeah. No, they don't. Actually, that's not true. But
well, that's... Okay.
That's debatable at best.
Fine. And sometimes people are comforted by being able to see your facial expression.
True. That is true. But sometimes people are super discomforted by only being able to see this part of your facial expression.
Yeah. Yeah.
The part around your lip.
But I bet you could make some pretty cool, you know, masks like that have, you know, giant teeth or something around it.
Yeah. No doubt you could.
Yeah.
And one thing to consider, by the way, is miking any talking characters, especially front of house.
Yeah.
If they are outside. This reduces screaming. I know as Bernie, and I'm thinking about this, I've been thinking about this for a while. One of the problems I have is Bernie, when I put the mask on, I scream just out of reflex.
Yeah.
Every word is a scream. And it may be an in-character scream, but it's still a scream. So a mic might help me project, might help me get my voice out there. But basically it makes it easier to be understood underneath the mask. Just make sure that the mouth is moving as you do it.
Yeah, and the reason for this, and we've talked about this, I believe, with Japes previously, is that with mics, sometimes you can get disembodied voice, and so it doesn't look like it's coming from that character. But if they're wearing the mic, you know, underneath their mask, and the mask moves some, then you can tell that that person's the one doing the talking.
Yeah, we've had this on a couple of hayrides we've been on, not calling anyone out. But when we're a certain distance from the actors, because we're in the hayride and they're over there.
Yeah.
And, rah, bah, bah, I'm going to murder you and all the scary stuff. And I can't see their mouth. And they're like, which one's talking?
Well, and the thing is that they have both on that same hayride. They have full, you know, masks that are like animals. And the mouse doesn't move. It's just like a prop piece. So you've got prop pieces walking around with this voice that doesn't match the movements of the face.
Yeah.
But then you've got others who are in makeup who have the mic on. You can say, oh, that's the person that's talking because they're, you know, moving. This isn't pre-recorded. This is, you know,
He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, if you're going to mic someone, make sure that we can see who is mic. Don't go to the trouble of miking characters that we can't tell who's talking.
Right.
And if you do, make sure that the mic can be washed or not shared.
And it's something that's something interesting that I just thought of is that with so many people not being able to see your mouth move when you talk, it might actually reduce that disembodied voice feeling because, you know, people are getting used to not seeing the face move.
Okay, maybe I can see that. There's some logic there. I don't know how well that's going to work out.
I don't know either, but it'd be interesting to find out.
I still prefer being
able to see
who's talking, so that way I know who I'm supposed to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Because if that's the cult leader, I want to know who the cult leader is.
Well, yeah, and yes, that's true. And there are ways to clean microphones. I just looked up you can use some alcohol on some mics. It depends on your mic.
On some mic filters, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, look up what's best for your mic.
Yeah. And right now, pretty much every major mic manufacturer, mic speaker manufacturer, should be releasing documentation on COVID and cleaning and all that.
Right.
Just follow their instructions.
Yeah. Exactly.
And just remember as you're doing this that masks are important behind the scenes as well.
Right.
We have to encourage masking up and being masked behind the scenes when you're with other actors and not in front of the customers.
Yeah.
Because we're all aware of what the haunt flu is.
Yeah.
This year, the haunt flu could be COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have a lot of smokers in your area at your haunt that take breaks to go smoke, make sure that they've got enough space that they can do their thing away from everybody else.
Yeah.
You know? And within that space, there's enough for multiple smokers to be at the same time, 6 feet apart.
I am loath to suggest expanding your smoker area.
Yeah.
But this might be the year to do it.
Yeah. If you have to do it to keep people safe, that's what you have to do.
Keep people at a distance? Yeah, yeah, you do. I mean, it's true.
All right. So, other suggestions we have for fixing mask or makeup or how to make them work together. And these are just off the top of our head kind of things.
And so, based upon also things we've seen in haunt groups and whatever.
Right. So custom printed mask, right now, if you know what the paint's going to look like, or if you want, you know, the look where the tissue is gone from the bottom half of the face.
Or you want a Joker
mask there,
or something
or
like that, yeah.
Things like that. You can actually have that custom printed, and those prints look really good.
Yeah, they do.
Especially in the low light of a haunt. Because you have to remember, you know, it might not look as good in bright light. But
yeah, and that's one of the things we always talk about, is to remember that lighting is key.
Yeah.
And so if you light the mask in dim light, you can get away with it not being nearly as perfect. For example, if you want to do, like I said, a Joker mask or the skin falling off mask,
right,
a low quality print might look like utter garbage in the bright light of day.
Yeah.
But it might look very good in the dim light of a haunt.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen some incredible masks out there that are, because people are already thinking about this.
Yeah.
You know.
As they should.
Yeah. Exactly. If you make the sock style mask with the, you know, the pantyhose that goes over the head and, you know, attach the different pieces of your mask to it, you can always put a place for the, to attach the PPE mask.
Yep.
Just cloth inside of it works great. Velcro strips,
we can't say Velcro anymore. That's illegal.
Right.
Hook and loop. Velcro is a trademark. We're not allowed to say that anymore.
Yes.
They fucking
hook and
like
loop
yelled at people.
Is something that, you know, is, you know, it makes masks more usable.
Yeah.
And you can decorate, and so yesterday on Craft Chat, I made a very quick non-sew face shield with decoration and Velcro. So
she's putting it on now.
This is just made out of scraps around the house. It's not what I would use in our actual haunt, but
it's a face shield.
It has strips of fabric coming down, and I know that this is going to be, you know, different for the people on the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll post pictures of it.
Yeah, we will. We'll post pictures the day after.
Yeah,
goes live.
Yeah, so it took 45 minutes to make.
Mm-hmm.
It has Velcro on so that I can take the fabric off easily and throw it in the wash.
And get spray down the actual plastic part of the
exactly.
mask.
So that's my quick and easy. Anybody can make one of those.
And you said it was no-sew.
Yeah, no-sew. I used...
Emphasize how easy it is, because...
Yeah. Basically, I just cut a long... I measured a piece of fabric. It actually... Because it says boo on it, and, you know, as actors, we don't use boo in the haunt. So I unfolded it, put it across my head to see how long I needed to make it, cut a piece off, and then tore it into strips at the bottom, but leaving the top of it solid so that, you know, that, because this is cotton, and that'll help stop droplets.
And one of the great things was, even though the actual mask you got, the PPE mask you got, did not go to the ears, or was not quite far enough back, this supplemented that and made it much more secure from a PPE standpoint, yet at the same time, provides an actual hot, relevant, you know, perspective.
Exactly. And they have fabric glue to glue pieces of fabric together. So just glue that together, and it's done. You can do that very quickly.
Yeah, you did this in like 45 minutes. I remember you doing this.
Yeah.
It was not long.
No, it didn't take long at all. So.
And this is something like Hans could like start on now and crank out multiple.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could see it with, you know, multiple different colors. This isn't the original idea I had for it, but that would have been too complicated for here.
Well, and the fabric you used was definitely specific to the scraps we had lying around.
Yeah, I have a lot.
But I could easily see that working for, like, a swamp person type scene, or working for, like, any kind of, like, hospital, I don't want to do hospital scenes, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Any kind of person that is, like, mentally ill and dressing themselves. Any crazy person could do it.
We're not talking about that either, remember?
I know.
But yeah.
But
so yeah, that's an easy way. The headdresses, I would not recommend that method. But decorating face shields, it's easy and it was actually pretty fun. Welder masks look spooky, and that's just that plastic face shield in front of you. As long as you don't get the ones with the vents. Also, the cloth mask with the little vent holes don't protect anybody. Don't get those.
Yeah, don't get those, because those just funnel the water droplets out the vent.
Exactly.
So, don't fall for that.
Yeah. Okay, and for cleaning masks, your silicone and your latex mask, I looked up CFX's guide on how to clean, and if you have 91% alcohol or higher in a spray bottle, you can use that to quickly spray the mask inside and out, turn it inside out, spray it, dab it off with the no lint shop towels, and those are usually blue, the blue shop towels, you know what those are.
Or you can, mine's green because I got the shop towel from the lens cleaning kit.
Yeah, exactly.
Lens cleaning kit towels or shop towels.
Yeah, because if you're, especially if it's like day glow or black light glow, because you don't want all of that lint coming on whenever you go into your room.
Yeah.
So make it lint free. And you can also wash multiple masks at a time by putting them into what Hans would have probably most readily is 5-gallon buckets filled with Dawn soap and water. Put it in. You make sure that they swish around really good.
With a stick or whatever.
Turn them all inside out. Put them back in. Swish them all around again. And then put them into rinse them off individually in a 5-gallon bucket or just on the side with a hose to make sure that everything gets off of it. You want to make sure that every mask is dried after you clean it with either method, because it can produce mold if you don't, and then you would just be ruining your mask. So don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Makes sense.
And I've got a link to the YouTube that I watched on that.
Sounds good.
One quick thing for owners and for people who are working your front gate. Front of house. If somebody shows you a card that says that they are exempt from wearing a mask,
fuck them.
I'm
putting it politely.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Those are fake ADA cards. We've seen things claiming that these are out there.
Yeah. I've not seen any haunts actually talk about seeing them, but I've seen stores talking about them.
Yeah, we've got friends in retail, and someone tried to pass one of those off.
Yeah.
And they were told, no, go get a mask.
No, go fuck yourself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Go fuck yourself, but not with COVID, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, stuff. And there's multiple varieties of them. Some of them even carry, like, you know, various official-looking government logos on them.
Right.
Don't fall for it.
No.
Nobody has ever produced a card that says, this person is mask exempt. If someone hands you a card saying they're exempt from masks, they're fucking lying.
Yeah, exactly. So, you don't have to, Don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about that.
They can just go away.
And what you do is you tear up the card.
Yeah.
And say, we'll happily serve you when you wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the end of it.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. So, that's the end of it, isn't it?
That is.
Okay. So, do we have any answers to this week's question? I'm curious about this week's question of the week, but haunts that are on your bucket list.
Right. I am still...
She's collating. Give her a minute.
Yeah.
Take your time. I can stall for a few minutes. Basically, those people that put out the fake ADA cards, yeah, fuck them. They're horrible people. They're lying and they're committing government fraud. They don't deserve anything.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I saw long enough. Good. Like a two-minute more tirade about this.
Yeah, I think it's probably best that I just jump in.
Good to stop me right now. Good to stop me before I go too far in.
Yeah. Okay. So, Nate Dingman said Queen Mary because a haunt. It's on an actual ship. It's 100% original.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Japes had several
answers. Yeah.
He had Netherworld was a great one. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Scaravania. And also Darkest Hour, he said.
Oh, the one
Alan
in Orlando, yeah.
Idea all in one place was like heaven to him. So that one's something that you'd want to go and look at. Chris Gay agrees with you with Haunted Overload due to the unique, huge sculptural set pieces.
I just like the idea of going on a hayride and seeing these giant four-story tall fucking statues being lit. I mean, I fucking love that, you know?
Yeah. And Elliot Ramey said the mortuary was because we asked for a place, and he's heard so much about it from us, but he's never been, because he's never been here on the weekend that we go.
That's fair enough, because we go early in season, though, usually. Yeah. So, yes, if you want to send us... Sorry about that. Your haunted attraction bucket list locations, please do so. Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, and also hauntweekly.com. We have a contact form. You're free to send it out and let us know there. Mm-hmm. If you don't send it to those locations, we don't know. We found out later some people gave some great ideas, but unfortunately, we didn't see it until too late.
Right.
So please, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, HauntWeekly.com. Those are the three places to let us know. Please let us know where you want to go for your haunt bucket list.
Yeah.
I'm desperately curious. Because I know I mean, Erebus is on mine. That was a good one, Queen Mary. I got to admit.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, we were hoping to go there this summer, but...
Dent Schoolhouse in Ohio?
Yeah.
That's on my bucket list?
We have our whole bucket list.
We have, like, a bucket list that's a mile long.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm not allowed to die for a very long fucking time is what I learned.
Yeah. All right, so...
So on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. We will announce this week's winners next week, as we have been doing now. Thank you very much for joining us. Once again, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly, HAUNT Weekly on Facebook, HauntWeekly.com on the internet. And also, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Please let us know what is on your haunt bucket list. Please subscribe. Please let us know. We don't do this for any money. We don't do this for any reason other than we love the haunt industry.
Yeah.
So please.
At least not right now.
Not right now. I don't think we're competent enough. But, please let us know what your haunt bucket list is. We're dying to know. But until next time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week.